Trib Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trib Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning, Steelers fans in Pittsburgh and all across the country, including San Diego, where they almost outnumbered the Chargers fans in San Diego in an impressive win by the Steelers. A last-second victory, kind of like a walk-off home run, Chris and Mark, and Ralph Polk, joined by Mark Cabali and Chris Adamski. It was an impressive win for the Steelers, nonetheless. You know, and Chris, you rewrote last week about, you know, sometimes the road woes of the Steelers sometimes on the West Coast. But this game was probably as big a win for this team as they've had in a long time, because the expectations were that, you know, the Chargers, you know, were trying to keep pace with Denver and that in the West. And the Steelers, I don't know. I don't know if the expectations were they were going to win that game, but they did. They did it with a lot of things, you know, going on. You know, Martavis Bryant, you know, not being activated on the roster, was still trying to figure out why. And he was, you know, activated on Monday, of course. And there was so many things that happened in that game. You know, one, you know, the clock problems in the fourth quarter. You know, 18 seconds was mysteriously lost. You know, then Mike Vick, you know, a huge 24-yard run, you know, to set up the game-winning run by Bell. Just so many things happened in that game. Just remarkable. But you come back from San Diego, and perhaps the biggest story is, and we should have seen this coming, and I think we did. You know, the moment that, you know, Antonio Brown was having problems, you know, with Mike Vick, and at least some kind of chemistry between the two. And now, yesterday, Antonio Brown says, you know, the predictable to me is that, hey, look, just give me the freaking football.
You know, I would say give me the damn ball, right? But they took the word damn out of my story.
Well, you can probably say that on air, I think, right, Meg Parker? You can probably say that here, but you can't say it in the newspaper.
I can't say damn in the newspaper?
I don't know. It's kind of
they took it out, so.
But anyway, guys, let's just talk about that for a second, because this, I think, was inevitable. You know, that you have someone who's, I wouldn't say that Antonio Brown's an egomaniac, but he is a player who believes he should have the football. He's like Michael Jordan. He wants the ball in the final seconds. But in that game, in the final seconds, on Monday night, you had to believe, you had to know, you know, that somehow that the football was going to go to Le'Veon Bell, especially considering what happened in the Baltimore game when he didn't get it. You know, that to me was going to happen. And Mike Tomlin reiterated in this Tuesday news conference, hey, you know what, I'm going to get the ball to my best player. What is he saying, really? Is that Le'Veon Bell's his best player or Antonio Brown's his best player? Well, I think Antonio Brown decided but say, hey, wait a minute, I'm the guy. Mark?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you covered there, Ralph. And I'll just jump into, first of all, I think he's saying Le'Veon Bell's his guy right now because Ben and A.B., Ben's not around, so A.B.'s there. So let me address this Antonio Brown thing. I see the popular radio stations in town are really blowing this up like it's a I wouldn't say popular because it's the popular show. What am I talking about here? But let's listen to the actual thing, what's going on here with Antonio. Antonio Brown was not a malcontent. He was not complaining at all during this. He just – some words look different in print than they do in sound. Of course, he wants the ball more. He's not getting the ball more, and there's one reason why, and I'll tell you right now why he's not getting the ball as much as he's normally. I think the numbers are down like 5 targets a game between Ben and Vic.
He has 15 targets, yeah. 9 catches, and 87 yards.
I mean, it's not even close. And here's the bottom line, point blank period, as Ramon Foster always would say, this is why it's not. Mike Vick is not permitted to audible at all, nearly at all, maybe in certain situations. So what I'm saying is right now is when he comes to the line and he sees Antonio Brown has single coverage over here, what would Ben Roethlisberger do? He'd make a little hand signal, point to his nose, say a word. Antonio would know what to do. They would gain yards, and that's where a lot of Antonio Brown's yards come from. They can't do that now. They don't do that now. Mike Vick doesn't feel comfortable doing it. Todd Haley doesn't allow that to happen, even though they're all actually will deny this, but it's the absolute truth. He's not allowed to audible at the line, and that's why Antonio Brown's not getting the numbers he's getting, because
but Mark,
that's the problem.
But Mark and Chris, I need you to address this, because here's the reality, is that Mike Tomlin has spent his entire time with his organization, and you listen to the players in the locker room, someone like a William Gay and Lawrence Timmons and the rest, talk about, you know, this team effort. Everything's about the team. Okay, we hear that all the time. That is the theme. That is the philosophy, you know, that Mike Tomlin talks about all the time. And all of a sudden, you come back and Ben Roethlisberger's on the practice field for the first time in 3 weeks. You would think that's a big story. But no, it's Antonio Brown whining about not getting the football.
Now, this ain't whining.
No, yes,
come
it is.
On.
You can call
no,
it what you want.
No, no.
You can call it what you want. He was whining last week about not getting the football. But I'm saying to you, Chris, is that does this overshadow the fact that this is a team who just picked up a huge win on Sunday against San Diego, then comes back and gets his quarterback on the practice field? And all of a sudden, it's Antonio Brown.
But they're not going to win against Arizona, against Cincinnati, against Kansas City, unless this guy's involved. The guy I'm looking at right in the front cover of the Pittsburgh Tribune
that,
Review.
That
okay, go
true,
Buzz.
Chris,
you know, Buzz, you're only here for a half hour because you're leaving. You haven't got a word in yet. Because me and Ralph's arguing. So go.
I'm splitting the difference.
You
didn't
decide.
We're cutting you off again. No, go ahead.
that if you were there, yes, every time he talked about the team and that Mike Vick and whatever. He's obviously frustrated. You see him on the field during the games, he's frustrated. Okay, and there's nothing, you know, necessarily wrong with that in the heat of battle, getting upset or whatever, as long as you're not kind of showing up or in front of the other teammates or in front of, you know, I guess you have millions of people watching, but you go to them and say, as long as it's not an overt, like, you know, flip the middle finger at your quarterback in the middle of the huddle or whatever it is like that. You don't mind a guy wanting to get the ball. He's used to Ben, and I've talked to the Ben AB chemistry they have was something that you could tell that even before, and that now just completely amplifies this is what they have. The timing they had together, and yes, they're both one of the best receivers in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I always kind of laugh, like people say, I don't know why I'm bringing hockey. I don't know.
People say you mean you.
Crosby and Kessel have they're one of the best wingers and one of the best centers in the league, although maybe they don't have good chemistry judging by the results early on. But, of course, they're going to have, you know, they're going to produce. But I think it was an unspoken sort of, you know, the chemistry, the timing, whatever it is missing. Now, AB yesterday, I'm kind of split the difference between you two because, yes, in context, I think in print it looks worse than what he was saying. I think it's kind of is getting blown up too much, but if every time he talked, he also kind of went back to it no matter what, and it was almost as if he couldn't help himself in terms of kind of putting down Mike Vick or you know, I don't, it was like he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to say he won the ball, which okay, and he wanted to say it's okay, we're winning, Mike Vick's doing what he can, but he always kind of circled back around.
Let's go to the bottom. I'm going to ask you this, Ralph. Let's go to the bottom line here. Doesn't the guy with 129 catches and 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns need the ball more? Shouldn't he be getting the ball more? Shouldn't Mike Vick be looking at him at every single opportunity?
I don't disagree with you on this. But here the deal is, I think Mike Vick, every quarterback in the NFL has ever played this game, has always felt comfortable with one guy. I mean, that's just the way it is. Dan Marino, Mark Clayton. You know, whether it's I think Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning, there's got to be a quarterback and receiver relationship. I think it seems to me that he seems to have a better relationship with two other receivers on that team. Heath Miller, who he talks about all the time as being my guy, the safety valve guy that I can get the ball to, and Marcus Wheaton, who he feels about, I know because I throw this ball to this guy a lot. Wheaton catches the 72-yard touchdown pass. I'm saying Antonio Brown was somewhat envious that it wasn't him.
You know, well,
I get that sense.
Antonio likes to catch the ball. Let's not.
So does Marcus.
He wants the ball.
Michael Vick just wanted to throw it to anybody.
But
there was a couple things. AB's explanation made maybe a little bit of sense. That his view of why this is happening is that Vick sees AB double covered and he doesn't want to throw it.
Well, that wasn't.
And Haley doesn't want to risk any crazy throws. I'm trying to force it.
If you're talking about not being audibles, does it go back to why aren't you? Why isn't there? Why isn't the primary receiver AB more? If he can't call an audible to get on the ball, if that's the explanation, why isn't there more of an opportunity? Why is there more of an effort to make him?
You know what? I know is I watched the San Diego game, and you get a good perspective by watching it at the stadium of what the coverage is doing. And Antonio Brown was not double covered hardly at all. And normally, when Ben's in there, you always have that safety onto his side. Every single down, it wasn't. They were playing tight bump coverage, taking away those quick passes to get the ball into his hands, and they weren't audible and away from it when they brought 8-9 guys into it. 8-9 guys in the box, and Ben, man, I'm telling you, that hand's going up. He's, you know, scratching his rear end, and that means take a deep pass, and they're going to gain 70 yards. Mike Vick even said, you know what, sometimes it's better to be second and 5 instead of second and 10.
Yeah.
Let's not make a mistake here. And I think that's the underlying theme of everywhere. The guys just got to go out there and start playing not to make mistakes.
But coincidentally, last week I asked Mike Vick this question. Is there a tendency sometimes for a quarterback to force feed the superstar? They try to force feed the ball to Antonio Brown. And he said yes. You know, so it's a little stunning to me that maybe perhaps, you know, the coaching staff, but mostly Todd Haley, didn't say to, you know, to Vic, hey, let's get it to him. Just it's the same thing with Detroit. They're going to try to get the ball, you know, to Calvin Johnson, no matter what.
Yeah. If 4 years ago they found a way to get Hines Ward 1,000 catches whenever he couldn't get himself open anywhere.
And they knew he was done.
Yeah, and they called plays to get him the ball. I think, and you know what, because of all this, and maybe just to keep – one part to keep him happy, one part to get your let's face it, your second-best player at the ball, which you should be doing anyway, you'll probably start to see some – maybe he'll come in motion in the backfield, a little shovel pass, a little, you know, whatever
right,
it is. Maybe
right.
you'll see – I doubt you'll see him do the Wildcat because Le'Veon's so good at it. But, you know, more of the bubble screen type things. I don't know.
So is this on Haley?
That's why I don't know why there's not more of those plays.
Are you saying
called.
This is on Haley?
At least get him his damn, like,
he can't
catches
when you're
to throw it right to him. And if he doesn't get any yards,
when you're playing
on him then.
Tight bump, you're not going to get that quick throw.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And I mean, I get him the ball. You know, one thing I did remember was what Antonio said that I thought was interesting was somebody said, hey, is it a matter if Ben comes back soon? And he's like, no, you know, we need Ben back. We need 7-7. Yeah, we want 7 back now. Some of that is the underlying theme is I want my 15 targets a game.
Hey,
but they got to get him the ball. I don't care if he gets 4 targets or 104 a game. Those better be 4 quality targets. And when you got your best guy on the field only touching the ball 3 times in the game that you need to win.
Second best. We're going to talk about Le'Veon.
Now, let's talk about this.
Well, Le'Veon doesn't have 240 catches and 2,800 yards in 2 years,
too. Hey, look here, guys. Now, we spend a lot of time, and Antonio Brown might be happy about this, that we spend almost the entire show talking about him. Now let's go back a little bit though, because there's one thing I want to get you guys' perspective on here is that the ball's at the 1 yard line. You got 5 seconds to play, and Mike Tomlin could have made any number of choices here, but to me, the only choice was to run the football, get a ball to his best player. I'm going to say his best player, Le'Veon Bell, not because he went to Michigan State, my alma mater, but because I believe he trusts Le'Veon Bell. In that situation, a wildcat situation where he split out Mike Vick and gave him the football. Say, I'm going to put my future rest on you. I'm going to give you the ball because I believe you can get us to 3-2.
Well,
situation, what about the coaching decision by Mike Tomlin? Was it a no-brainer? And
it worked.
Gets his best play.
It works.
11
so
days
good.
Prior, wasn't he getting killed? Wasn't everybody killing him because they didn't give Le'Veon the bell in 4th and 1?
Exactly.
I mean, that was we heard for a week straight
every
single day.
Did Tomlin say that on Tuesday that, hey, I got him the ball, I just threw it to him? Didn't he
right,
say that
exactly.
in his press conference?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit curious of this call situation. I bet you if you look back and if Mike Tomlin thinks about this, 5 seconds left and know how it turned out, he probably wouldn't have called the Wildcat. Because you have one play there, maybe do a quick hitter, then call a timeout. I don't really believe Mike Tomlin thought that was going to be the last play of the game. You know what I'm saying? I thought he thought there was going to be one more left.
You don't think he thought that that's the play that's going to win me the game?
It could win him the game, but he thought he might have had another play.
The Chargers aren't ready to defend that play.
Call a timeout, kick a field goal, whatever. He thought there was one left.
His coaching skills.
He thought he had one left. I guarantee that.
Chris.
Well, they had to call – there's 5 seconds, all right? if you don't give him the ball – now, if you call the wildcat thing, that means you're essentially you're wasting a player because anybody actually believes he's going to throw to Mike Vick.
Well, they did yesterday in practice.
He said that was never going to happen.
But with the game on the line
– But he said in his news conference –
Yeah. Yeah.
Vick was
and San Diego probably believes that too. But you, I guess you
have to have somebody over there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're not allowed to audible, probably not. But,
and so. I mean, and he got in the end zone. So if he didn't get in the end zone, can you? I don't even want to. Like, it almost makes me physically ill to think about this week. Not because who won or whatever, just because imagine what we'd be talking about the league and that 18 seconds thing and the play call. I just. Like the angst, I wouldn't want to deal with all that stuff. So I'm just happy you got it for that because I don't want to have to consider how that would have been spun.
What do you think of the Wildcat, Ralph? I thought it was a nice wrinkle at the time. Get Levy on the ball, get the extra blocker, so to speak, in there. They use different, able to get D'Angelo in the game. I liked it. Yeah, I like the Wildcat.
You know what?
I
tell you,
situation.
With Bell's talents, I'm surprised they haven't used it more often. Quite honestly. I believe he's a smart running back. He knows what to do with the football. And because of his style, the Wildcat, to me, fits him perfectly.
I don't think you could have done it with Ben in there. You want to take Ben and take him away. But with Vick in there and be able to get D'Angelo, I don't know about that. What do you call that?
I guess what I'm saying here is that maybe Tomlin should get some credit, you know, for making a gutsy call. Because, you know, it's not a lot of coaches in that situation. Not everyone's going to say, hey, let's either win it. I'll lose it. There are a lot of coaches who prefer overtime on the road. You know, it's like, hey, let's get this, kick this field goal, let's get out of here.
It was, yeah, and I think that, now I know the offense had just scored the touchdown the drive before and they just marched down the field, but I think it was a no-brainer, you know, but I would have done it too because you don't want to take a chance going to overtime at that point. Your defense is tired. You're only playing two defensive ends the entire game. It's 93 degrees there. They've played, you know, at every snap. But you could tell the defense was wearing down. They weren't stopping the Chargers the last three drives they had the ball. Your offense hadn't done anything for an entire two-thirds of the game. Now, again, the last two drives they did. But I think at that point, you know, you have the best running back, the so-called best running back in the league. And I say that is, you know, arguably, I guess, the best running back in the league. If you can't get in from the one-inch line, then, you know, your chances are better getting in from the one-inch line than it is winning in overtime. All mm-hmm. right? And they did it, so, you know, congrats.
Wait, how many times do you see a negative carry, though? It's not like
I heard there was a couple.
That can happen.
What
about the play
second
before?
For him to get in.
This, I mean, this is kind of outside the box and probably irrelevant to anything. But what about the Heath at the one-inch line gets hit? My initial instinct is they call a personal foul. It was like an inch penalty because he's already at the one, and they can't, you know, so why not just crush somebody at that point when you have nothing to lose? But then
he's probably going to get crushed in the wallet here coming up tomorrow.
True. And I heard from somebody else, though, and actually a good point overheard in the media room yesterday, that that's kind of BS if you're the Chargers, that you have a guy about to score a touchdown to win the game. You're trying to hit him as hard as you can to keep him going over the goal line. You get a defenseless receiver. So, in other words, if you catch the ball at the half-yard line, that you're going to score a touchdown, you're not allowed to hit him because he's allowed to fall in the end zone.
Well, personally, I think that's the most bogus penalty in
yeah,
the NFL.
Well, yeah.
You know,
there's two,
which happened quite a bit. That one, you know, and the new catch rule now, whether you can make two, three, four steps, get hit, lose the ball on the ground is not a reception. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But now, let's talk. And I know you got to get out of here, Chris. But I want to get your thoughts on the fact that it appears now.
Get the hell out of
that
here.
Perhaps Ben Roethlisberger, or is it true, guys, is Ben Roethlisberger going to make a return a lot sooner than most of us expect?
No, absolutely not. I totally disagree with that. He was out throwing yesterday.
I'm asking.
Yeah. You know, he did come back yesterday. And let me tell you, he likes to play up his return. I mean, he is great at that, man. I know he's hurt.
I think Tom was a little annoyed by it, actually.
you should ask Bill Cowher about it. But he likes the put that tough guy image out there, and he's coming back. He went out there and threw a half dozen passes to 10 passes yesterday on 7-on-7 with a scout team. I could have done that, and trust me, how he looked.
Oh, here we go.
How he looked throwing that ball. We better hope he comes back in November. That's all I got to say there. He's a ways off, put it that way.
Chris,
so I don't take. I mean, never.
Trying to rush him back, Chris.
I would say absolutely not next week. Even next week, no way. None.
It seems unlikely at that point. There's Arizona thing's not happening. Forget that.
I think they already ruled him out.
Toss that out. He's on the practice report.
Didn't Tomlin say he was out Tuesday?
Yeah, he said he's out. He said okay. There was no progress on him.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but they do expect Ryan Shazier back.
He didn't practice.
which is another question. Let's get to these.
Come on, Buzz.
You guys know how I feel
go
about this.
Go mispronounce his name. Call him Shazier. Go ahead.
For years now.
How do you pronounce his name?
It's Shazier.
Shazier.
Just like it's Le'Veon. But I want to hear this Ben thing. What do you think? Ben's coming back? I'd say if you're lucky, Cincinnati game. If you're lucky. And that's November, what, 1st, 2nd?
Well, that would be the – because right now we're just at two and a half weeks.
Arizona, so, Kansas City, then Cincinnati.
Yeah,
it's
I
a
think
tough,
Cincinnati.
Tough stretch for this football team. With two,
you're predicting guy, two and a half – a week and a half
The guy
now?
Even admits that he can't protect himself out there. He can't move laterally. Do you think they're going to put him in there against Kansas City team with guys like Tamba Ali and guys like Justin Houston get his head knocked off?
But he'll be ready for Cincinnati.
I think Cincinnati's a more game. I think my opinion, I think Cincinnati's more reliable, more of a goal. Buzz.
So that's 2.5 weeks. That would be then
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Is it why is a rushing back though, even for that game?
Well, yeah, if you're rushing him, although, you know, I don't know. It shouldn't play in. What's like my opinion, Shazier.
Okay. All right.
Shazier. That there's probably some of that they trust Sean Spence enough and Vince Williams enough. That they don't feel like – they never admit it, I'm sure. They're going to say it's independent of whatever else is going on. But I think that's kind of watching that San Diego game because the whole second half you're thinking they're going to lose. Well, I shouldn't say the whole second half, but a lot of it you think they're going to lose the game. But my kind of spin on it was that in some ways, even if they had lost that game, I feel better about these Pittsburgh Steelers' chances than I did at the beginning of the season because you have – without your everything franchise – Ben Roethlisberger, and heck, you didn't have your second best player, Le'Veon Bell, the first 2 weeks.
Le'Veon.
Here we go.
And no Martavis Bryant.
Yeah. The defense has been better, much better than – I don't say much better, but better than I thought. And I think overall, so if you could tread water, we talked about this last week, and get Ben back, then you'd be okay. So even if you – now, there's some point where you lose too many games, and it doesn't matter who comes back. So that's why that win was so big, as you said, in the open there.
Shazier is Shazier is a interesting cat. I don't understand why he's out. I didn't think he was going to miss any games, and we're 3 weeks out, and didn't practice or was he limited yesterday doing scout team stuff? Something fishy about that.
I think he was surprised that he didn't play. I talked with him.
Oh,
on
you're
going to
be very surprised this week.
I talked with him Friday, and he said to me, "Is that you know I can play from the first snap to the last. What do you want me to do? I'm ready to go." That's what he said to me, and I think he was a little stunned at the fact that he wasn't on the active roster. He wasn't playing. I really believe that. And so I think at some point, this kid is saying to himself, hey, I'm tough enough. I can play. I may not be 100%, but I can play. I can help this football team win. But what it says to me, though, more than anything else, I think Keith Butler is comfortable at this stage of the season with Sean Spence, with Vince Williams, that he doesn't feel necessary to risk further injury, you know, to Shazier. I just don't think it's in his cards for him right now. But watching this team, and I got to say, Chris, I agree 100% with you on this one, is that I think the defense has elevated itself a little bit and probably a little bit better than I thought they were going to be this season. And considering all the questions they had in the secondary in particular, and we haven't even gotten to the point that, you know, Will Allen left that game with an ankle injury, had an MRI on Tuesday. And then you look, Antoine Blake gets an interception, returns for a touchdown. It's the third straight game. And I haven't done research on this, unfortunately. But I can't remember the last time the Steelers had interception in three straight games, Mark. This defense has really made some plays.
I don't think they had three interceptions last year.
It's been a while.
The funny thing is the two best performances I think this secondary's had was probably against San Francisco and against San Diego, and they probably gave up a total of 800 yards in those two games combined. It's funny how this team's giving up yards, but it's not giving up points. I think you said that, Buzz, at one point during our cross-country trek. They're just not giving up points.
I wanted to write a story about the defense post-game, and I looked at the numbers. I'm like, oh, crap, that they gave up 409 yards. I was just here write this piece talking about how good the defense played.
He bit.
You had the feeling watching the game, and they did. I really think they tied it. It was hot. It was sticky. I was fatigued into that game because the open-air press box
was
all hot
was
and like
sweating.
Sticky it
was.
It was
disgusting out
and
there.
I can't imagine going out there and playing that many. They snap. Think about Robert Golden, who plays every single special team, so he's out there all those. And then
forget
he played
about
every
that.
Snap
about
for the rest
what
defense.
About the fatties on the defensive line that never come out and do it in hay? Hayward.
That's the thing.
My goodness, they had to be dragging. I asked Tua, he goes, I'm in shape. This is what you always want to play. I'm like, oh, yeah, but it's 94 and 100% humidity, and you're playing every single snap. John Mitchell doesn't like that. John Mitchell wants to rotate those guys, but those guys, all they have, and they're very good. So I don't know how they did it. Give them credit for being in shape, though.
Now, speaking of Cam Hayward, and Buzz, before you get out of here, I want your thoughts on the fact that, you know, the rules that the league come up with, you know, some things you can say, oh, that's okay. I'm all right with them with the, you know, changing the way what a catch is and changing what a blow to the helmet is, or, you know, all these kind of crazy things. But, you know, Cam Hayward was fined yesterday, you know, for honoring his late dad. You know, and then you look at D'Angelo Williams, you know, he can't wear, you know, certain things that are pink on his uniform. And he wants to honor
only
his
in
mother.
October. He's allowed to
honor his mother who died of breast cancer.
Four aunts, too, you know. Four aunts that died.
Think about this now. Is a leak? Is some folks would say, and some have written, and you go on the website, NFL.com, you see a lot of people say, wait a minute, the league just is insensitive when it comes to these kind of issues, even though it's very supportive in October of breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, there's definitely a PR problem the league has in a lot of ways, and that's not going to – listen, you see the point. I see what they're doing or why, you know, they start making exceptions for this or that or whatever. They have a uniform policy. They've had it for a while. The players know it. It's part of the CBA, whatever else. But you get situations like the league continuously gets embarrassed in situations like this.
It's not flexible.
On both of them, yeah.
But, you know, have to have some rules in place.
And that's the thing. If you take it case by case, then what makes it
a rule?
And who honors who and all this, you know, all you have to do is say, oh, this honors my deceased relative here, whatever, then you can do whatever you want.
It's a very sensitive subject because it makes you look insensitive if you're against it, because there has to be rules in place. Could you imagine letting these guys go amok? I mean, Hayward, fine. Aunt D'Angelo, fine. But what about the goofball that wants to, you know, put his whatever on there? I don't know. You remember the old XFL when he had "He Hate Me" on me? Well, only right, "He Hate Me" down his arm. What about the guy at Virginia Tech was wearing the Rolex? You got to have some rules, so it's a very gray area.
I
you
think
thought sound insensitive.
Should have been fired for being on the cell phone on the sideline. Now, that to me, that's ridiculous. Whatever the problem was. Picking up the phone and Terrell Owens, you know, on the phone in the end zone doing his Sharpie thing. You know, to me, that is what the NFL doesn't want. It doesn't want to be embarrassed by his players. To me, a player honoring his late father or his late mother in some way with their uniform that isn't gaudy, is not an offense to fans or the league, what's the problem?
Well, the crazy part is that I'd seen it before. He had done it for his whole career, for years, or for you know, and nobody, he never got fined, never said anything.
I almost don't even
want to say it publicly because I noticed he had written on his foot, on his shoes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an extra fine or not, so I almost didn't want to bring
Here's
that out
the
because then he gets fined for that now, too.
I was talking to some guys, and they said, typically, those uniform violations happen more on the road. And the guy in San Diego, and I'm allowed to say this because we're on Trib Live Radio, was a real prick. So, I mean, he fined Stephon Tuitt for having his shirt untucked. Tuitt goes, I didn't even know. I said, they yanked my shirt off. It's not like I was making a statement or anything. So, they let it go forever. You know, I mean, I think I saw it in Baltimore last week. They did a, you know, when they played on Thursday, they did a close-up of it. This guy must have saw it and says, okay, I'm going to get it. I think it's very weird. I think San Diego guy, for lack of better words, was a real prick about this. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, before we move on and get to a break here, quickly, just a little short take. And we got Arizona coming up on Sunday. This is a team that's, you know, undefeated. And I think you look at the score where they, you know, beat up on –
they lost to somebody.
4-1. They lost to St. Louis. I'm sorry. Yes. They lost 4-1. But this is a team that – beat up the Lions on Sunday. You look at it, and I heard so much about Carson Palmer.
He's good.
About how great he is. He hasn't won a playoff game either. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, but it's about this team's defense. This defense really made it happen against the Lions, and then returned, and forced the Lions to say, wait a minute, we got to yank our QB out of there because this guy just didn't get it done. But I think this game is really going to be about Arizona's defense on Sunday more than anything else.
Oh, they've assembled a lot of playmakers on defense between you get the Honey Badger and Patrick Peterson, and I think you're still kind of maybe because of the last Super Bowl the Steelers won, I think people think, oh, it's Arizona. They're you know, Larry Fitzgerald. And well, I know that nobody thinks Kurt Warner is still there, but that passing, you know, the high-scoring offense, Todd Haley is the high-flying offensive coordinator leading that team. But that's not the kind of team. But and this has been sustainable, too. This isn't, you know, I don't think 4-1 is a big shock for Arizona. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. They were 10-6 and they didn't make the playoffs, mm-hmm. but you know, a winning record again. This has been something that's in there for a while, and yeah, you know, it's a, I don't want to say it's a sad commentary on the NFL quarterbacking, but it's, you know, Carson Palmer is, if you sit down and rank the quarterbacks, I mean, he's been a legitimate starting above average quarterback year after year. You know, yes, he has won a playoff game, but nobody's ever touched Cincinnati in the past quarter century has, and you know, he went to Arizona after that, and he hasn't played in a playoff game in Arizona yet because he was hurt last season.
Mm-hmm. He's good though, man.
That's what I mean.
He reminds me of Ben a little bit, where his, you know, his mental capacity of the game is very at a very high level, and he knows where to throw, when to throw, and his body still allows him to do it.
But Mark, isn't he helped a little bit though, you know, by the fact that he has. Yeah, I think this rookie, David Johnson, is going to be a great running back at some point, given Northern Iowa. I liked him before the draft. And then Chris Johnson seems to be his career seems somewhat revived. I mean, I think having the Johnson in that backfield has really helped Palmer a lot.
And then you got Larry Fitz is a new man, too, since they moved him in the slot. Mm-hmm. Guys having amazing numbers.
And then you got John Brown, who's kind of AB Jr., you know, a lower round draft pick from a smaller school who Bruce Arians takes.
Don't forget about Andre Ellington, you know, the Clemson connection. How did Clemson ever lose a game? Then they have Taj Boyd, Andre Ellington, DeAndre Hopkins, Martavis Bryant, and Sammy Watkins. How did they ever lose?
Well, you saw Taj Boyd during camp, ooh, didn't you?
Well, Taj Boyd, maybe that's why. That's Ralph's guy.
Great quarterback.
You know, that's why he probably had like 5,000 yards passing, and because he had those guys.
Great team. Great team, those Clemson.
Buzz, you're leaving us.
Hey, Buzz, I know it's fighting the traffic to get into the studio or something. Yeah, I had a fight myself, but appreciate you coming in.
It's the earliest I've ever been. He was actually early.
Was he?
It's very unlike Buzz. I'm a little worried.
There was
about
no food available.
Put it this way, real quick before we go, I got to give a Buzz story from the road. Our flight took off at 2:30 on Sunday to go to San Diego. Buzz is not there, and I look at 2:29 running down the hallway like O.J. Simpson. Little did he know that the flight was delayed an hour.
Yeah,
we didn't
know.
He's sweating and he's.
You used the word prick earlier. I text you and I say, you could have said like, "Hey, okay, don't worry."
Well, if I would have told you it was delayed an hour, you would have waited an hour, and you would have been running down at 3:29.
I'm more than happy to call in if you'd like me to do it. You're not gonna have my people are gonna be clamoring. Where's the arrow? Where's Buzz's arrow up, arrow down?
This we'll is, do the arrow up and arrow down now before we leave.
I'm not ready for that yet.
All right, then get the hell out of here.
We don't get to jump through this. Hey, Chris, enjoy the rest of the day. See you at the Steelers facility. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Board the Steelers roundtable.
O'Rourke Vision Care with Dr. Sharon C. Rourke and Dr. James F. Huber, located at 4745 Clareton Boulevard, Lower Level North, Pittsburgh, PA, near Baldwin High School. Call O'Rourke Vision Care at 412-892-9767. That's 412-892-9767. Or online at 2020eyeexams.com. Need an eye exam? Schedule today. New patients welcome. Online at 2020eyeexams.com.
Good Luck Highlanders from the Pizza Company. Eat a real pizza. We offer free delivery to all of South Baldwin, Whitehall, South Park, and Pleasant Hills, plus limited delivery to Jefferson Borough, Bethel Park, and Brentwood. Pizza Company, located at 5200 Brownsville Road. Call 412-653-1011. That's 412-653-1011. Or online at thepizzacompany.biz. That's thepizzacompany.biz. Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio.
Welcome back to the Steelers Roundtable. Ralph Polk joined with Mark Caboli. Hey Mark, let's take a look at the rest of this division, this North Division. You know, this week, you know, the Steelers
team looked good last week, huh? Cleveland Browns.
And you know what? Here's the thing: the Steelers got to be kicking themselves. You lose a game to Baltimore at home, and then Baltimore goes home and lose to Cleveland.
Baltimore's in trouble, man.
It's a bizarre thing.
What did I say about Baltimore last year? They stink.
Yeah,
you know what? I still believe they stink.
I tell you what, I'm starting to agree with you somewhat that perhaps Baltimore isn't nearly as good as I thought.
Four sets hurt. They just put their backup on IR. They have no wide receivers whatsoever. Their defense is depleted. That team's garbage, and they're giving their quarterback $20 million.
For me, I would say the quarterback's garbage. But that's the way I felt about
Flacco. Nothing around
his
him.
His entire career.
There's nothing around him.
Yeah, but looking at his division this weekend, Cincinnati plays a 3-2 Buffalo team on Sunday. Then Baltimore's at the 49ers. The 49ers are 1-4. The Steelers ran them out of here. You know, Cleveland plays at Denver. I'm looking at the schedule thinking, Cincinnati, if the Steelers don't get it done against Arizona, Cincinnati's in a position here where they can gain even more separation from the rest of this division. Now, boy, is it going to be – I know we talk about Cincinnati not winning a playoff game. Andy Dalton struggles sometimes. But the fact is, Andy Dalton's having a pretty good year. This team looks as one of those teams that you can't – there's no reeling them back in.
You talk about a team that has weapons. They got weapons out the rear end. And you know what? You can make an argument right now that Andy Dalton could be the league MVP. I mean, he'd have to be in the conversation right now. He's making all the throws. He's doing all the – to come back – 24-7 in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks and that vaunted defense. That defense might not be vaunted anymore. But look at the weapons, Ralph. You got Hill, Bernard. You got Eifert, who's turning into a Pro Bowler right in front of your eyes. You got AJ. You got Sanu. You got Marvin Jones. I mean, the offensive line is probably the best in the league.
But this is the offensive line, though, that it has been overhauled over the last couple of years. You're talking about a team with three different offensive linemen over the last year.
This team, that's pretty funny how the AFC North has probably the best offensive lines in a league that has terrible offensive lines right now. Cincinnati, where their weakness is a little bit in their secondary, you see what happened last. I mean, Russell Wilson putting up big yards against them. Joe Flacco puts up yards. I'm not sold on them yet as in a team that can make it to the Super Bowl. But, man, they're gaining momentum.
But they're at Buffalo. Would you consider that a trap game? Because I
don't know. Buffalo's a good team. Now, I don't know who's quarterback for Buffalo. Isn't Tyrod Taylor out? Is it going to be EJ Manuel?
They haven't ruled him out quite yet.
I mean, you talk about a team now void of injuries killing you. If Tyrod Taylor's out, McCoy's out, Carlos Williams could be out, Sammy Watkins been hurt, Percy Harvin's been banged up. That's a team that's been banged up as well. But that's a tough one because Buffalo is – who are they playing at, Buffalo?
Right.
That's a
Buffalo.
Tough place to play at. That defense is pretty solid. But the secondary stinks. I find that kind of funny too. Buffalo secondary stinks.
But the front four is good.
No, but they felt the need to just not – to cut Ross Cockrell on August 31st, who's turned into a pretty good player for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's been more than just serviceable for the Steelers. And let's talk. I want to get a little bit more, on this Arizona game because
no Browns.
No Browns.
They're playing. Good.
They're going to play.
McCown's throwing for 500 yards a game. They're looking good.
They're playing Denver. They're playing a Denver team. I think, frankly, is overrated.
They're
beatable. I think the Browns defense. They come and go. I don't know what this. I don't know about the quarterback situation. I'm still not, though he set a franchise record. Josh McCown had a field day. Throwing the football 457 yards. I'm still not buying him as a legitimate quarterback.
You've seen it too much.
I just can't say. I don't believe. Anyway, the Arizona. I think this is this is week six, and I don't think it's a stretch to say this is an important game. For the Steelers.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it all depends. I mean, you just have to stay within striking distance of the Bengals. You got two games with them coming up, one in November, one in December. You can't get too far away. I mean, I guess you can say they can afford to lose this game if you're insuring me the Buffalo is going to beat Cincinnati. But, it doesn't really matter, and it's been proved over years and years that unlike baseball and unlike the wild card game, you just have to get in football. I mean, you get into football, you can win that 6-3 game. Last year you saw Baltimore win the 6-3 game. Would it be nice to win the division, play at home? Fine. But at this point, even if Cincinnati runs away with it, you have to start looking around the rest of the division, see who else can make the playoffs, and be honest with you. Nobody in the AFC South looks like they can get a wild card. That division's awful. The West is falling apart. Raiders stink. We all know. I mean, they're a little better, but they stink. Chiefs are falling apart. So if you're looking Broncos slash who else? The Chargers, and you already got the Chargers.
The East
stinks.
So,
if you get in, is the big thing now.
And so it makes that win over San Diego even more impressive, even more important, because now you're talking wild card if the Steelers don't win a division.
Yes.
You know, it's like you play San Diego, you still have Kansas City on your schedule as a wild card. Like you said, you root Denver out, you know they're going to win that division anyway. You know, the Oakland game coming up. You know, Oakland could, you know, who knows? They could somehow factor into this, you know, to this playoff race. You know, so this is a game. I look at, you know, this Arizona game, and I say to myself,
this might be their toughest one to beat.
Exactly. I think this is a game that's going to not define who the Steelers are. I really think the San Diego game kind of told us a little bit more about the Steelers. I think some things that we needed to know. You know, can this defense make some stops when it needs to? You know, excuse me. And the coaches there, do they trust Mike Vick? You know, to do certain things,
no.
Or are they getting to a point in this game when they play Arizona? I think they need to trust Mike Vick.
But here's the problem with that: you got a pretty doggone good secondary in Arizona. So you think it was tough to get AB the ball when against guys like, I don't even know, Jason Verrett and those guys in San Diego? It's going to be much more
Brandon
difficult.
Flowers.
So it's going to be probably setting up more of a run type of game.
But see, that's exactly my point here, though, Mark. Is that I really believe, though, is that when you're playing a good defensive unit like Arizona, you have to trust the quarterback. You have to trust Mike Vick not to run the ball, not to throw a bunch of bubble screens, you know, to hand the ball off to Le'Veon Bell,
but
to make some throws that matter this game.
You might need
to Antonio Brown.
Because playing not to lose this game is not going to get you to win it. Maybe playing not to lose against the 49ers or the Rams, you can win those games. But if you're playing not to lose against the Cardinals, you're going to lose. You got to go out and you got to win the game.
Right. I think they need to challenge that Arizona secondary, you know, by getting the ball deep to perhaps. Hey, it will Martavis Bryant.
Let me ask you a question. How many pick sixes did San Diego drop? Three? I don't think Arizona is going to drop those three. So I don't know. Be careful what you're wishing for, opening it up and throwing the ball.
I'm just saying, from a coaching perspective, I think they want to trust Mike Vick to make some of the throws that he's not making right now. This is his third start. You got to open the playbook a little bit.
I think they've really narrowed it down on what he cannot do.
And it's anything
time. I mean, the guy's a career 54% passer completion guy. He's not going to sit back down and pick you apart. And he's throwing a 63% completion clip this year, which is unheard of. That's the career high of now. And that's kind of funny because he's been kind of inaccurate. I think Haley's really knows what he can and cannot do here. Mm-hmm. He can't throw on rhythm. He can't throw crossing patterns. He can't throw those deep ends. What he can do is dump things, make plays happen with his legs, and throw the ball deep to Marcus Wheaton. Mm-hmm. You stick to that point, I think you have a good chance.
You know, the one thing that I did think, though, that it kind of reflects the fact that he is in his 30-something now, is that, you know, the deep throw to Darius Haywood-Bey that was, you know, poorly on the throw. I mean, it was badly on the thrown ball, which I thought, you know, Haywood-Bey was open on that play. There have been situations like that where the arm just isn't what it used to be, but he can still get it out there sometimes. You know, but what Vic does, it's like that 24-yard play. You know, you had to think that, you know, the San Diego defense say, hey, just keep him in front of us. You can see that's how they weren't blitzing their safeties. They were trying to protect that, and he still got him. And I see watching the film in Arizona, is that those plays are possible against this team.
What do you think about how much of an impact do you think a guy like Martavis makes coming back, maybe giving that down-the-field threat? I mean, Marcus Wheaton's good and all, but he's not known for his down-the-field, his prowess. Mm-hmm. Does it make a huge difference if Martavis fired up and chance?
I think any time you have a speed receiver, and you know, let's not overlook what Haywood Bay has done. I mean, I think he's been more.
But there's no role for him anymore.
But
is
I know he had more of an impact on his offense than perhaps maybe we thought he would. But you know, Martavis Bryant being back, the fact that he can run routes, he has that speed. He kind of takes the top off the defense. We kind of open things up for me for Le'Veon Bell in the passing game.
Plus, he's an easy throw too. He's an easy throw. He's 6'5". He's a big guy. It's hard to throw to those little guys. Vic, you know, it's easier to hit a barn from the inside than the outside, I guess. I don't even know. I think I just made up a really bad analogy right there. But what I'm saying is it might be easier just to get the ball in his vicinity. But I think it's going to rely – this game on Sunday is going to be a lot on the defense. They have to – pressure Carson Palmer like they always do, and it's probably going to come from the secondary stuff again. And they just can't, you know, they're going to have to keep him in the game so Vic can try to win it.
You know, I know I mentioned this earlier, Mark, but, you know, I know you like Carson Palmer. I'm still, this is a guy
numbers, to me.
He's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. And I think it's just like what the defensive player said last week. I know, you know, Arthur Motes mentioned the fact that, hey, you know, if you, any quarterback, if you pressure him, you know, you put him on his pants and you know, on his butt a couple of times, he's going to start to think. And I think this has been, you know, what Carson Palmer throughout his career. You know, I think he's been not easily intimidated, but he can be intimidated by a good pass rush.
Yeah, they all are. Except like Phillip Rivers. The more you blitz him, the more he picks you apart, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened a lot on that first drive where they went down and scored. Steelers blitzed him a lot, and he's, like, laughing at you. You know, you're not going to – that's what makes it difficult. It's hard to blitz veteran guys because they know where to go with the ball. Maybe that's the same way with Carson Palmer. I think the Steelers have had success with Palmer over the years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Palmer's got them a couple times, too. So, it's just – I mean, what do you make of that? I mean, of Arizona practicing in West Virginia this week. That seems kind of weird to me. What is the flight from Detroit to Phoenix? Direct flight, 3 hours, 4 hours. Wouldn't it have been easier just to go back to Phoenix, stay in your own room the whole, then fly back to Pittsburgh? I mean, that's weird.
They're saving money.
I don't know. Is it
save your money, save their legs? I don't know.
I'm totally baffled by why
Phoenix
teams
is totally
do something like that.
Totally different, you know, climate than Pittsburgh, of course.
I don't know why teams do that. It's just I'd rather sit in my own room, have my own. You know, routine. And then don't underestimate that, too, with the Steelers. Steelers have had a rough first five games when it comes to the schedule makers. We're talking short week, New England, long week, San Francisco, normal week, St. Louis, short week, Baltimore, long week, San Diego, short week. I mean, it's up and down. These guys like a routine. And I think it will not only – I think it will help a lot. Over the next 5 weeks, I think they
think
all
this,
1 o'clock games.
You know, I thought about this earlier. I think this team is being helped by the fact that they're developing some mental toughness.
Losing. I got mental toughness after writing these gamers at freaking midnight. This changed. Like I got my hair is even turning grayer.
Yeah, but the truth is, you don't have Pouncey, which you seem to be really. You know,
he should be. He needs to be back. Legersky. What do you think of Cody Walsh? I think he's struggling.
Yeah, I think he's been, you know, he's been serviceable. He's done okay. I don't think he's been terrible.
I think Pouncey returned
would
help
a lot. The fact of the matter is that the 1-2 out of the three games, which, you know, well, he didn't play half the game in St. Louis, you know, but they won two of these three games, you know, without some of their good players. Shazier, without Roethlisberger, without, you know, Pouncey, without Martavis Bryant.
Maybe on two for a pair.
Right. I think mentally this team is a little tougher. Because of some of the adversity. You know, and Tomlin talks about, you know, part of the growth for any football team is having to deal with these kinds of adversities. This is a team, obviously, that feels a lot better about itself because it's won some games that perhaps we thought they couldn't win. And this is another game coming up where I think what most folks feel, you know, that Arizona is a good defensive team. The offense is a lot better than it was a year ago when they went through any number of quarterbacks after Palmer's injury. You know, so this is a team that feels awfully good about itself, you know, going into this game.
Yeah, you know, they're battle-tested, too, Arizona. They play some tough teams as well and playing in that West. It's a big game. I don't know. It can go either way. I mean, as for Vic, one last comment on him. For all the crap he's done, and he's played like crap a lot, you can't deny he's put him in position to win. I don't know if it was him putting him in position. Put it this way. He hasn't taken him out of position to not have a last chance to win the games. He probably should be 2-0 with him. I'm not sure how much he has contributed to that, but you can't ask for much more than him putting you in position to win or not putting you in position to lose or making mistakes. So.
Well, you know what? If you win two or three tough, tight games, it's a lot better to lose them, obviously. Hey, let's get to our ups and downs.
What's yours, Buzz? Oh, Buzz ain't here. So I guess that means we probably got less time to fill because Buzz usually spends 6 minutes with his.
Okay, your ups and downs. Where is football team? What do you think?
Ups and downs. I'm going to have to say arrow down with Mike Vick, man. I just don't think he's played well whatsoever making the throws he needs. So after I just said, you know, I commended him on what he's able to do, eventually you're going to need a guy like we talked, make some plays more than just, you know, four plays at the end of a game where you throw one up and somebody falls down or whatnot. I like that he – did I see my arrow down? Mike Vick, yeah. I think Arizona's secondary is going to really make – he's going to really make some big mistakes this week, and that might cost him a game. So I'm saying Mike Vick down. Arrow up is my favorite person, Antoine Blake. The guy has – I mean, this story is we just blow it off. This is a guy – and once again, I think the Steelers front office
give them some love, right?
Yes, give them some love. This is a guy they picked off the scrap heap, just like Ross Cockrell. And we don't think – I mean, there's a reason why the Steelers didn't go after free agents in the offseason at cornerback, because they like what Antoine Blake can bring. And he's shown that he's a playmaker, he can make tackles, and he can hit. I think arrow up.
I think we wrote many times during training camp in the preseason.
We saw last year in the training camp, you're like, keep your eye on this guy.
Exactly. You're coming to the season when you're drafting two corners, and there were some doubts about the corners, even William Gay. And of course, Cortez Allen, who Tomlin says might be back this week after having his knee injury slowing down since that season opener. My ups and my downs, I tell you what, my up, I would like to do my ups first.
Because you're a positive guy.
I got to go up. Yeah, Stephon Tuitt. Stephon Tuitt has really developed into a pretty good defensive end. You know, I like to compare players over, a course of time. And I think right now he's ahead of where, Cam Hayward was at this stage of his career. I really believe.
Absolutely.
Because, we talk about the pass rush is one thing, but I think the way he's defending the run is also another. And I think Keith Butler made the point, is that maybe he's not getting the sacks. What he's doing is he's putting the pressure on quarterbacks and making them a little bit uncomfortable, making them do things perhaps they don't want to do. And I think that's what a defensive end's purpose in this defense, more than anything else, is to at least apply pressure, to at least collapse that pocket. I've been more impressed with him in the way he's actually defended the run this season. My doubt, which is coming as a surprise to you, is Antonio Brown.
Oh, come on.
You say he's not whining. He's not complaining. And you look at it. Whatever it does, it comes back to, I'm not getting the football. So for a football team that talks all the time about, it doesn't matter what the name on the jersey is. It doesn't matter what the stats are. He's talking about not getting his targets, not getting his catch. That is his bottom line. And the bottom line for Tomlin, he talked about this again. He said it without really saying it. Is that we won the football game. It doesn't matter who gets it, but I want the guy who's my best player to have the football. I think at the 1 yard line, your best player is Le'Veon Bell. I don't care if he's in the wildcat or he's split out or he's playing the tailback position. Whatever it is, that is your best player. And I think I'm not saying I want to get too deep into Antonio Brown's head, but
there's a lot of room in
it's
there.
It's too late for that, right? I think at some point though. Is that this guy, I've been accused of calling him a diva at some point.
That's all receivers, aren't
he? He's become a superstar. But, there's just some times when they're not going to get you that damn ball.
On the air.
If I get it from you.
I'm not allowed to use it in my story, but you can say it here.
But the point is, I think Tomlin made the right move, Nate. And I think for Antonio Brown, hey, man, just do what you got to do. If you're going to get the ball, get the ball. But if you don't get it, hey, that's the way it is. It's football. You won the game, live with it. That's our show for this week. Next week, we come back. We'll talk about the Arizona game and who they play after that on the road against Kansas City.
Talk
to you next week.
Frank's Landscaping and Fencing. Retaining walls, patios, fences, landscape design, and cleanups. Fully insured. Free estimates. The Landscaping Pros. Give them a call at 412-303-8056 or online at frankslandscapingpgh.com. Go Golden Eagles from Frank's Landscaping and Fencing.
Grimes Interiors, furniture repair specialist since 1907. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. by appointment only. Repairing, re-glue, hand stripping, cane and rush, refinishing, antique restoration, upholstery, and consignment. For in-home estimates, call 412-771-6667. That's 412-771-6667. Grimes Interiors Furniture Repair Specialist, located on Chartiers Avenue in McKees Rocks. Online at grimesinteriors.com.